This is New England Public Radio News. The fallout from a scandal involving the state drug lab in Amherst, Massachusetts may be nearing an end, but not before even more affected cases are identified. The Supreme Judicial Court ruled last week that all drug cases with evidence tested at the Amherst lab over a 4-year period would be dismissed, along with every methamphetamine case going back a few more years. Previously, only samples that former drug-addicted chemist Sonia Farrick handled were dismissed. New England Public Radio's Carrie Healy spoke with Matt Siegel. He's with the ACLU of Massachusetts, and she asked him to talk about the overall magnitude of the decision.
It is likely to be a very large number of cases overall, and that's partly because of the court's decision extending the dismissals to, as you say, even cases that weren't assigned to Sonia Farrick. But in addition, there was already an understanding, even before this decision, that every case where Farrick was assigned as the chemist would also be dismissed. And those cases span not just the 4 years where everyone at the lab is getting relief, but also additional years, about 8 years total.
What does it mean for someone to have a crime that had been tested through this drug lab get dismissed and essentially erased from their background?
Let me answer that in two ways. There may be some people right now who are serving sentences on convictions that are now overturned because of this decision, or who are serving sentences that have been enhanced because of prior convictions that are now overturned. And we're hoping to be able to find those people so that their sentences can be changed and, if appropriate, they can be released. But I think the broader issue is, and the reason why the ACLU and public defenders have really been focused on this problem, is that from beginning to end, the war on drugs in Massachusetts has been so misguided. It's been built on sort of falsified evidence. It's been built on going after largely poor folks who are suffering from addiction, and it hasn't gotten us anywhere in terms of battling the problem of addiction.
At the center of this issue is the prosecutorial withholding of evidence, and the whole dismissal hinges on that fact. Many have said that it will set a precedent, but will that actually change the way prosecutors operate in the future?
Well, prosecutorial misconduct is a big problem in part because it's so rare to see any consequences for it. You know, the entire justice system is built on the idea that if you punish poor people enough for their misdeeds, that they will change their ways. And yet when powerful people in the criminal justice system misbehave, as prosecutors did in this case, and really in thousands of cases as a consequence, there are so rarely any consequences for that. And that's just not right. So what we hope that this case will do is to set a precedent that will start creating some meaningful consequences for prosecutorial misconduct. The consequences here are the court is dismissing convictions. The court is going to take a look at its criminal procedure rules to try to revise them to bring home to prosecutors how important it is to do the right thing and turn over evidence that needs to be turned over. And finally, the court, as a monetary sanction against the Attorney General's office, is requiring that office to pay for the notice that needs to go out to these thousands of wrongfully convicted people.
And how long is this process expected to take?
Well, we're going to work as quickly as possible. One step is to identify the new cases that need to be dismissed and then to move forward with getting those cases off of people's records and sending letters to folks, letting them know what happened. And telling the truth to people who are wrongfully convicted is a huge problem here. We've been saying for years that this misconduct occurred, that it wasn't just Farrick, that it was also prosecutors who misbehaved. And the thousands of people who are wrongfully convicted deserve to know the truth.
It just seems like it's going to be such a paperwork nightmare. Is there enough staff to deal with this at this point?
I wish. I mean, I think it's been a struggle for us. I mean, we've partnered with law firms and with the public defenders and also the DAs and AG. We're just, you know, a little nonprofit who've been trying to do the work of identifying people. And so there's even more of it to do as a result of this decision than there was over the last few months. And the good news is it's to try to help people. So we'll get on it.
Matt Siegel is the legal director with the ACLU of Massachusetts. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.